Another year brings new and old faces together for the common goal of striving for academic and athletic excellence. The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 in conjunction with Hawaii Pacific University proudly presents Sharks Weekly, a deep dive into HPU athletics and who are this week's standout performers. Which program is making a splash in the classroom, community, and on the field? What are the upcoming schedules? All these questions answered and more, coming live from the HPU Esports Arena, powered by DSC Hawaii, on the Hawaii Pacific University campus at Aloha Tower Marketplace. Here's your host, Hawaii Pacific University's Vice President and Chief Marketing Communications Officer, Jeffrey Rich.
Aloha and welcome, Sharks Nation. It's not Jeffrey Rich, and if you're watching on YouTube, it's not from the Aloha Tower Marketplace campus, powered by DSE Hawaii. We still are, but Paul Brecht, usually the guy behind the camera, joining you today for a really fun and special Sharks Weekly, as we're joined by HPU men's basketball team's head coach, Jesse Nakanishi, and captain forward, Mai Ducenich. Guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning ahead of a big time week for you guys.
Yeah, appreciate you having us. Looking forward to talking about it.
Looking forward to hearing all about it. Want to catch up a little bit about the season. Before we do, Mai, going to bring you in. Just say hello. How you doing? Thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, you've enjoyed a second half of your season where it really seems like you're starting to kick things off. And that's where I want to start, Coach, where you guys have taken off into this third seed into the PacWest Conference after about 6-7 years out of postseason play, your first season taking over, and you guys clinched a spot early and now have been working on, obviously the regular season is over, you guys have been working on seeding ever since. Mai, what has it been like, I'll start with you, this season, working under Coach Nakanishi in a little bit different role? I know he was an assistant coach, the associate head coach last year. How's it been different this year? Has it been all that much different?
I wouldn't say it's been all that much different, but yeah, I was probably the closest with Coach Nak last year too. He was the one that, you know, recruited me, brought me over here. So we had a great relationship from the start. And then, yeah, just him being head coach, I think, yeah, we took our program to another level, as the results show. And yeah, just like in the first year of being head coach, getting third seed, I think that's great with a almost completely new team too. I think that's just speaks for itself.
I'm glad you bring that up because it is a brand new team in a lot of senses. 7 returners, but 10 newcomers this season, Coach, and that can't be easy in your first year. You're trying to build a program with which you already did have familiarity. What made it easier? Was it guys like Mai and Amelo Sanchez, your two captains this year, who came back? Or is it just something about this mixture of guys that has been a good mix to start off your college head coaching career?
Well, it's been a fun challenge to go from day one, when kind of being elevated, if you want to say, it was to, you know, we kind of had some culture in place, but to grow that culture. And obviously there's things, you know, I felt were very important to have. And so it's been, we have a fun group. I enjoy coming to practice every day and of course the games, but they're a enjoyable group to coach, and they've really bought in. Of course, we're still making strides every day to keep building the culture. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 1 year. You know, it's a constant process. But, you know, guys like Mai, who have been here a little bit and really know what I want and what I'm seeking, has been instrumental in building that culture. And, you know, Mai in particular has been the catalyst behind a lot of our success. We play a lot through him and around him. And I believe he leads the league in field goal percentage. And that's been amazing for us to have him take that next step in his game. And, you know, it's no secret with him doing that has been a lot for our success as a team.
And we've talked a bit about the success. I suppose I should clue the people in a little bit about that success. You guys, 18-10 throughout the regular season, 13-7 throughout PacWest play. mentioned it before, the number 3 seed heading into the conference tournament this week. You guys can listen to game number 1 here on these radio waves, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com, as the Sharks take on Azusa Pacific for the third time this season. And that's something we'll get into later on today as well, the preseason PacWest favorites in Azusa Pacific, who you guys were able to sweep this year. You guys have enjoyed a good year, but it wasn't easy by any stretch of the imagination. You guys started out on the road, you drop your first 2 games in Alaska, you do end up coming home at 500. I want to ask you specifically how it was as a player to go through the opening of the season. You guys lost Charlie Weber just about 72 hours before the season began. You guys go out on that road trip and he misses the first, I believe, 5 games of the year. And what was it like? What was the mindset like inside the locker room when, I mean, before even the first moment of the season had been played, you guys already were facing adversity?
So Charlie's obviously a really big part of our team, one of our best scorers. It was kind of shocking, you know, knowing that you're going to have to play for at least like 4 or 5 games without him. Obviously he was going to play a lot of minutes, and be important to our game. So yeah, that was just, adversity, like you said, in the start. And we kind of just said, yeah, let's just go play for him. We know we're still a good team. And it added a little bit extra motivation, but yeah, we kind of just had to figure it out on the fly, how to play without him. Those first 2 games were tough. I think we were still trying to figure each other out, like our play styles, learning how to play with each other in actual games. We just talked about this in the locker room actually the other day, and we said, yeah, we started off 0-2, and then coach after that second game, he was like, you know, we can be one of 2 teams. We can keep going like this and just start stacking losses, or we can get a win, then stack another win, stack another win. And then I think after those 2 losses, we went on a 6-7 game winning streak. And that's when I thought we were for real and we had to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, it's almost like you're a professional at this, Mai. You set me up because that's exactly where I was going to go next, was that 7-game win streak you guys do end up rattling off. And coach, I wanted to get kind of your thought process through that stretch, because Mai's right. You guys dropped those first 2 games. You're still learning about yourselves. And then something seemed to have changed in that Western Washington game. And all of a sudden, you guys were able to stack those wins. Was it as simple as that conversation post-game after your guys' second loss? Or did you see something else from your team in those coming days that kind of switched or flipped the switch for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, a number of things come to mind, but every team goes through adversity throughout the season, be it losses, be it injuries, academics, who knows what it is. Everyone goes through their share, and we sure had ours, man. We had 2 guys go down with appendicitis. We had a broken hand. We had a death in the family. You name it. We had a bunch, and every team does. And I just love our guys. We just never made excuses along the way. And I think the biggest trait I always remember about this team is that we did bounce back from tough things along the way. I don't think aside from those 2 losses early on, I think after a loss, we always recovered with a win. And never stack losses together. So it was a great thing to have. And that's what I expect from, you know, this team moving forward into this conference tournament. We had a tough game the other night at Hilo. Didn't play our best game by any stretch. And that's a testament to Hilo. They played very well. But we bounced back each time. So, you know, we keep it really real with our guys, and we preach the truth to them, and we talk facts, and you know they respond each time, so I expect nothing different coming up.
You guys have certainly, like you mentioned, dealt with a lot of adversity. We'll continue to get through that today and into the conversation a little bit more. I do want to talk about that first home game though, against Slippery Rock. You guys are going at it, and that kind of set the tone for what the entire year seemingly has been for you guys, which has been a boatload of really, really close games coming down to the wire. But when it comes to late game execution, that's where you guys have really excelled a lot of times. I'm curious where that comes from. Is it as simple as the preparation and practice? Because we mentioned at the start, 10 new players to this roster, 7 returners. It's not like there was pre-built chemistry for you guys to lean back on, but all the way through, it seems that in late game situations, you guys have been able to take a step back, slow the heartbeat, and kind of execute. How do you attribute that to, or how do you explain that, I guess, is the best way to ask.
You want this one, Mai?
Sure, yeah, I'll take it. I think it's just the competitiveness in all of us. I think we're all really competitive as a group. You know, we go at it at practice. Sometimes we get a little chippy at practice too. Coach always talks about how competitive he is and, you know, just wanting to win really badly. So, and I also think that, yeah, we played a lot of close games at the start and we grinded them out. And I think we kind of learned how to play games like that and just execute better under pressure when that, you know, time's coming to a zero. And yeah, just that first game against Slippery Rock, it was tight the whole game, just going back and forth. They're a good team. But yeah, we managed to get it done. And I think that, yeah, most of our games that came down to crunch time, we managed to pull off with.
Your chemistry continues to, or has continued to get better throughout the year. That game, a lot of fun for me, calling my first game winner, obviously, over our airwaves. You guys can catch that on demand if you want to go back and relive some of these wonderful moments that we are discussing today on Sharks Weekly with HPU Men's Basketball. We've got to step aside real quick. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, talk a little bit about a top 10 upset over a team in the nation, and some other fun wins throughout conference play. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Back here with HPU Men's Basketball on Sharks Weekly ahead of their first round matchup against Azusa Pacific in the PacWest Conference Tournament. Jesse Nakanishi and Mai Dusenich joining me in studio as we're talking all about what has been a really fun first year under Coach Nakanishi, and started out talking a little bit about the adversity you guys faced in the beginning of the season. That adversity didn't necessarily go away in the middle of the season. You guys take on a top 10 team in the nation in Cal State San Bernardino. You guys end up upsetting them in your own holiday tournament. And then you get into conference play. And as conference play starts, another case of appendicitis, as you mentioned before, you lose a Matt Van Komen for 7 games in the middle of it. How did you guys kind of navigate through that stretch, first starting with that top 10 upset against Cal State San Bern, and then going into conference play without your 7'4" center?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, obviously Matt presents issues for a lot of teams. He anchors our defense with his length and shot blocking abilities, and that really showed in that San Bern game. But, you know, it was really a collective effort. But, yeah, Matt's so impactful. You know, that win was really big for us. I think it spurred a lot of confidence in our guys that we can really compete in the league if we can beat one of the top teams in the region. And in fact, they were recently ranked number one in the region. And, you know, moving forward, those are the type of games you need to win to get regionally ranked, in addition to doing well in conference. And that's what we'll strive for next year and try to schedule as tough as we can with games like that. The second part of your question, you know, losing Matt soon after that as we headed into conference was tough. He's such a big part of it, no pun intended. But, you know, as you know, he's come back really strong from that. But giving credit, you know, it was basically a month off for him, and at his size, you know, to get that conditioning and motor back, it's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, he's really good working with our athletic trainer Chris McBride and staying in shape. So I give both of them a lot of credit, and you know, it's been great having Matt back, and we're going to need a big tournament from him moving forward.
Definitely going to need a big tournament from him going forward. Going to need a big tournament from a lot of guys. I do want to ask Mai about that upset, because against the top 10 team in the nation, like Coach said, kind of shows you guys what the ceiling is and that there might not even be a ceiling on this team. What was your thought as you guys went through that game, and what do you remember about that upset as you look back now?
Yeah, I just remember them watching them last year in that same tournament, and watching them play was just, you know, they're a really good team. They were just flying around the court. Yeah, just playing really good basketball. So I knew that if it were anything close to that last year's team, that it was going to be a really hard game to play. But, you know, they're just people too. We're basketball players just as they're basketball players. And I think we took on our early lead, and like we went on a little run, and right after that, we were all just kind of like in the rhythm of the game. You know, they threw a couple punches back, but I don't know, throughout the whole game, I just felt like we got this. Everybody, I think we're feeling confident just by taking on that early lead. We knew that we can definitely play with these guys, and we just didn't let go until the end of the game. So yeah, that was a really big win, and it felt great. Getting a win over a top 10 team.
And then I am curious, because as we were talking, I just kind of started to think about it. Ma, you're 6'7", if I'm not mistaken, or give or take a couple of inches. Matt at 7'4", is it weird at all to have somebody who's almost a foot taller than you, despite you being probably the tallest person in almost every room you walk in?
Yeah, it's just, you know, crazy. And everywhere we go, like at airports, restaurants, you know, people are always like, oh my God, how tall is this guy? I remember we were at the store this one time, people wanted to take pictures with him, and yeah, everywhere. It's just everywhere we go, people are always shocked by his height. But yeah, it's definitely crazy how tall he is. But it's great having that in practice, you know, competing against him, just like learning how to finish, you know, with a guy that's 7'4" guarding you. So yeah, I think it's really good for pushing us to be better, with, you know, through playing with him. And then obviously it's great to have him on our team for the reasons that Coach has said earlier.
Yeah, the top shot blocker in the conference in terms of blocks per game, and that's even, I think he's only a couple behind the overall lead despite missing those 7 contests. So certainly has been a massive anchor inside the paint for you guys. And during that time that he did miss, Mai, you did show off your rebounding prowess as well, and that's something that obviously you have been phenomenal with all year. Is that something that it takes, you know, do you take a ton of pride in that? Because it seems that, especially over this second half of the conference schedule, even on the offensive glass, you've picked up things, creating second chance opportunities. Is that something you've been trying to do, or is that just kind of part of your game and part of what you bring to this team?
I think that's just been a part of my game, yeah, ever since I can remember. Just trying to rebound, trying to bring energy to the team, play hard. But yeah, I don't know. With Matt being gone, yeah, somebody had to fill that role. You know, I think Matt averages like 7-8 rebounds. Even though he hasn't played a lot, he had to get back in rhythm, everything. But yeah, I think that's just always been part of my game, just trying to get extra possessions for guys. Rebound on the defensive end, and yeah, it was hard because I was starting at the 4 spot when Matt was playing, and then Charlie got moved to the 4 spot, I got moved to the 5, so I was having to compete for rebounds, you know, with guys that were usually a little bit taller, maybe bigger than me. But yeah, I think it's an effort thing, and yeah, sometimes you just gotta want it more than the other guys, and you know, some games it'll go your way, some games it won't, but I think the end goal, yeah, and just the wish is always there.
What do you think, Coach? Is that kind of what the mindset was in moving Mai to the 5 when Charlie went, or pardon me, when Matt went down?
Yeah, it was more of a we had to. but also, I mean, for Mai, like, his versatility is probably one of his greatest strengths. I mean, defensively especially, you know, we feel comfortable if we need to switching 1 through 5. He can guard point guards and he can guard 5s, and you know, so Really, yeah. It was just, you know, like he said, rebounding's an effort thing. It's an IQ thing. It's taking angles. It's effort. And so we knew he could do it, and he has. So like I said, we're really good when he's good. So it's a direct correlation.
Has definitely been the case this season, as Mai has put up a bunch of double-doubles, especially you guys had one, and he had one on senior night against Chaminade. You mentioned the Hilo game that you guys played. I want to go back to the first Hilo game that you guys played, because that was a pretty emotional day for a lot of reasons for you guys, and I'm just hoping to get your feelings. Obviously, it was Cam's Helmets Day, which obviously a great cause as always, given out over 100 helmets. I think it was 150 helmets or so to local youth so that we can prevent those head trauma related tragedies in the future. But also, you mentioned Nico losing his father. That's when he left the team. And that's kind of when you guys have really kicked it into gear once again in clinching that third seed. What have the emotions been like since that day on the inside for your guys' team?
Yeah, I think all around, I mean, I'll talk about Nicola in a second, but just probably more proud of what we've done on the court is what we've done off the court for myself and this team, with all of the community services we've done with the two local schools in our community. These guys volunteer their time once a month going into two different schools. And, you know, we've done stuff for Maui and done stuff for Cam's Helmets. And these guys never complain. They like doing them. And I think it's a win-win situation. They love supporting us and just growing our brand and our place and roots in the community. So really proud of them for that. And that Cam's Helmet day is always a special one every year, where we can hand out those helmets and hopefully save a life or two, or injury or two. And then, yeah, you know, going through the adversity with Nicola, and still today, I think about him every day. We text every few days. He's still going through a tough time, and we're all trying to be there for him. And yes, playing for him and having him in our thoughts and prayers and through our play. So, yeah, it was a very emotional season. That was part of it for sure. And, like, you know, like Hilo just went through it too. They had one of their players lose a family member. So it happens, and we just, that's life, and we're trying to help grow these young men, and that's something you use as to try to help them. So.
And Mai, for you, what was it, or what has it been like for you as well, seeing Nicola kind of go through it, seeing a teammate go through it, especially as a captain trying to help lead your team through this tough time? How have you been able to deal with some of this adversity? And have you been able to kind of step away for a couple of moments for yourself?
Yeah, obviously it was an awful situation that happened. And really we all just felt for Nicola. But I think that it brought us all much closer together. You know, moments like that, I think bring out that like camaraderie and just wanting to be there for each other, help each other out, talk about things. You know, mental health obviously plays a big part in being ready to play too. And yeah, we just tried to do everything that we could to help out Nicola. I went over to his place that day, tried to help him pack up some stuff, you know, as he was going to the mainland to be with his family. But yeah, speaking the same language kind of helped too. You know, just maybe having like a sense of home away from home at least a little bit. Maybe that's what hopefully made it a little bit easier for him. But yeah, just a very tough situation that definitely put some perspective on life for all of us. And yeah, we just tried to help out as much as we could.
Yeah, a lot of humbling moments throughout this season that you guys have, from my point of view, have taken in stride exceptionally well. Obviously, our thoughts, prayers, and aloha going out to Nico and his family as they continue to go through this tough time. Got to step aside for another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about you guys celebrating each other, senior day, what just came about against Chaminade, and now heading into the conference tournament as you guys still have eyes on the prize and a potential PacQuest Tournament Championship. We'll be right back on Sharks Weekly. Welcome back to Sharks Weekly. Paul Brecht filling in for Jeffrey Rich as we have a special edition of our weekly show with HPU men's basketball this week ahead of their PacQuest tournament matchup with Azusa Pacific. Jesse Nakanishi and Mai Ducenich joining me today. We just had a really fun conversation to recap like half the year, most of the year. Now I want to recap what was one of the more fun days of the season, and that's Senior Day. You guys celebrate Tyrese Terrell, who we talk about somebody who's faced adversity, another player of your guys's who has gone through the ups and downs of basketball and life throughout this year, dealing with a injury that held him out of his own senior night, obviously. And you guys end up pulling out a big-time victory against Chaminade 77-72, a fun game that you were down at halftime and then kind of turned things up in the second half. Take us through senior day for you guys, or senior night, I suppose, for you guys, and what that was like all the way from the locker room to coming back to the locker room for halftime to ending up winning in front of a pretty packed house one more time in front of the Shark Tank.
I mean, first of all, I think that was by far the most fans we've had in my 9 years here at HPU. So that was fun. You know, there's people texting me about not being able to find parking. We haven't had that problem before. So that was fun to have that many people cheer us on. And we started off slow defensively. We don't usually give up 40 points in the first half. But we turned it around and, you know, was able to make some shots on top of that. And it was a fun game. Chaminade always presents their unique challenges with their style of play. And they're a very talented team themselves. Speaking of close games, they played a ton of them and can play with anybody. But yeah, it was a very enjoyable game, second half at least, where we were able to turn things around and end on a high note at home.
And Mai, you enjoyed a really fun game, 18 points, 11 rebounds, both game highs. And in that sense, what was it that you were feeling so good with? I think you went 9 of 10 from the field as well. Kind of goes back to that offensive explosion we've seen you take this season as you've improved your finishing with each hand, both left and right-handed finishes around defenders who aren't necessarily 7'4", Matt Van Komen.
And his free throws.
And his free throws have been phenomenal as well. That's good.
It was just a great game for everybody, I think. Well, maybe not in the first half, but second half we picked it up. I remember talking to coach after the game, and he told me, yeah, you turned it up a notch after those first couple minutes. And yeah, the first couple minutes were a slow start. It was our first home game after, you know, almost 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks. So we just kind of had to get back in that mojo of playing at home, remembering how it is to play at home. Just after being a slow start, we all picked it up. Guys made some shots, which allowed me, you know, to get the ball inside and work in the post a little bit. So, yeah, all credit goes to, you know, the whole team. We work as a unit, you know, like individual performances don't really matter if you don't get the win. I think it was a collective effort. Everybody made some big shots. When guys are doing well, it usually correlates to other guys, you know, getting confidence off them too. So yeah, it was just a good team game. And it was a good win to clinch the third spot.
You mentioned it. You guys clinched the third seed in the PacWest Conference tournament with that win, essentially making this past Saturday's game against UH Hilo, I don't want to call it pointless for you guys, but it made it this past game. It didn't matter the result for what your seeding would end up being. You guys finished the regular season, at 18-9, 11-3 at home. And that was a big time change from a year ago. And I was hoping you could take us through the biggest difference between last year and this year at home, where you guys were able to really protect the Shark Tank almost like no year in recent HPU memory.
Yeah, we said from the very start, when we all got together as a group, that, you know, playing at home means a lot. You have to protect your own home court. And we actually set a goal for ourselves to go undefeated at home. We fell a little bit short of that goal, but we still had a really good year at the Shark Tank, I think. A lot of credit also goes to all the fans. You know, I think that all of our home games had really good attendance from fans. They were cheering us on. A couple games when we had all the kids from the elementary schools that we work with too. So yeah, the fans were definitely a big part of it. And then just having that mindset from the start of the season, you know, playing at home is special. Not everybody gets an opportunity to do this, especially in a place like this. So just, yeah, protecting our home court was one of our main goals from the start of the season. And I think that we did a pretty good job at playing at home.
I would agree. And you guys also on the road go 7-6 to end out the year. Over 500 on the road, a couple of those losses to Art and to Point Loma, the two top seeds in the PacWest tournament heading on in, the co-conference champions, regular season conference champions. How much are you looking forward to potentially getting another bite at the apple should you get a chance to get past Azusa Pacific?
Yeah, absolutely. To be the champs, to be the best, you got to beat the best. So we're excited. Hopefully we can, you know, starting with Azusa, they're a really good team. They present challenges as well with bigs that can shoot and, you know, high-pressure guards and one of the best players in the league in Ken West. So we got to play our best game to get by that one. It's going to take everything. And then we got Academy that will be rested and waiting for us. And they play a intense brand of basketball themselves. But we're really excited to play them. And then who knows who ends up, you know, in that championship game. If we're fortunate enough to make it there, which I believe we can and will. But it would be pretty incredible to play Point Loma at home for the championship at their home.
That's something else where you guys do go back to the mainland. You head out this past this is being played on Thursday. You headed out this past Tuesday, hoping to get a little bit more insight on what tournament prep has been like for you guys ever since Saturday against Hilo ended. How have the players been given time to rest? Mm-hmm. And how have you guys been preparing as you get ready to go to the mainland for who knows how long?
Yeah, it's a real balance as a coach, making sure we're firing fresh and rested, but yet have, you know, ample enough live reps and walkthrough reps. So we're always meeting and navigating through that. And oftentimes do like to utilize our captains to get a feel for the team and where we're at. And we took off yesterday, Sunday. You know, we had just played Thursday and Saturday, and that Hilo trip's a long one. You know, it's a full day. We leave at 10 a.m., I think. And, we meet at the airport at 8:45, and, you know, our flight home is at 9 o'clock. So it's a long day. So definitely rested on Sunday. We'll get after it today with a full day. Travel on Tuesday. Have a short one at Point Loma. We only allowed an hour there, so we'll walk through at a high school gym for an hour on top of that. And then we play early. You know, the men's portion of the tournament is played before the women's this year, so we have the first game of the tournament, so it's at 12:30 Pacific time, 10:30 Hawaii time. So it's quick turnarounds with not a lot of prep, but being that we just played Azusa recently, it's beneficial for us, and we have a pretty good feel. But we'll definitely have our tweaks and wrinkles that we'll need to add into it, so we'll go over that today, and a lot of film sessions with the team coming up.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Azusa Pacific and the PacWest Conference Championships coming on up when we return to Sharks Weekly. Don't go too far. Back here on Sharks Weekly, Paul Brecht bringing you the live and interactive Jesse Nakanishi and Mai Dusenich ahead of the PacWest tournament. You guys taking on Azusa Pacific in the quarterfinals, a team that you guys were able to sweep during the regular season, but something I say on Wake Up in the Den with Kule Ogbayani all the time, really difficult to beat a team three times in a single season. So I was hoping you could kind of give the listeners an idea of the team in case they haven't tuned in against your PacWest foes before. What do they need to expect? You mentioned Ken West before, preseason PacWest player of the year. And what are some of the challenges that he specifically poses to your team?
Yeah, a really talented player. He has NBA range, so we have to close out deep all the way out to him. And then he also can take you into post. So if you do some switching and end up with smaller guys, he can back you down. He's a tough shot maker, as I call it. And all we try to do is make sure that he's taking tough ones and not clean ones.
And Mai, for you, when you go against a player like that who does have length but can stretch the floor, how difficult does that make your job on the defensive end? Or is it something about the HPU scheme? Because you guys have been the top defensive PacWest team throughout this season. Is it something about your scheme that allows you guys to kind of move as this one big amoeba? Or is there a difficulty presented when you get a stretch four or a stretch three or a stretch five like a Ken West?
Yeah, I think actually Josh has been one of the biggest parts of our defense. Just guarding probably the toughest matchup on the opposing team every single night. He's been holding guys that usually score in double digits to single digits almost every single time we play guys like that. He was also the one that was guarding Ken West. Obviously a tough player to guard, but I think he did a great job. And he's been doing that throughout the whole year. And then, we have great shot blockers in Matt. I think we just move as a unit. Every single game we have a specific defensive plan that we're trying to execute, and I feel like we've done a really good job throughout the whole year. I think we hold teams to the lowest points per game in our league. So yeah, defense is definitely a thing we pride ourselves on.
I actually do want to give that to you a little bit, Coach, where that was something you talked with me about early on, about your team being a defensive calling card. And it seems that the players have really taken to that. And part of that, like Mai brings up, Josh Nasulu, who has been phenomenal since stepping on the court for you guys. It's funny, we've kind of coined him Josh Off Night Nasulu as his nickname just for his defensive prowess. What has he meant to your guys' defense this year?
Yeah, well, a couple guys really come to mind. Coach Frost has been a big addition to our team, and our defensive identity that I set out for us to have, and bringing him on board and having him really focus in on the defense. And he dives deep into it, and we play a lot of personnel-based defensive schemes. And, he's been a catalyst behind that and making sure setting our guys up for success in that part. And then, yeah, Josh, for sure, we give him the toughest assignment every night. He's so great at moving his feet. He's physical. He's a hard worker, and he has a big-time motor, as I call it. And so he's been instrumental for our leading our defense. And then, like Mai said, we have guys like him and Matt waiting for anything that might get past guys like Josh. So it's been fun to see our guys get after it defensively and execute game plans as we set out during the week to do.
I am a little bit curious, though, because as you do face against Azusa Pacific, while Ken West is the one that'll grab a lot of headlines for the Cougars, they also do have a player in Bryce Sloan, who is one of the better scorers in the conference. What challenges does he pose to your guys' defense heading into this Thursday matchup, this quarterfinal matchup, that you guys need to key in on should you want to move into the semifinals?
Yeah, he's a three-level scorer, and he really is that mid-range game of his, turning a corner and ball screens and that pull-up, so we want to make sure all of those are contested and tough shots. But they, his backcourt mate in Reedy is really good too. He plays really good defense and can hit threes. So they're a well-balanced group. They have other bigs that can shoot as well. So you're right. It's tough to beat a team three times, but I really believe in, you know, our defensive identity if we stick to our principles. And then offensively, just try to set our guys up for success on that end as well. And at the end of the day, our guys got to go make some plays. You know, Mai's got to go finish and make plays for other people. And we got to get guys to step up and knock some shots down.
Running out of time here, Mai. Just one last question for you. How is the team feeling? How do you kind of pitch yourself as a captain? How do you talk to the team as you head into this conference tournament?
Yeah, it's the final stretch of the season. We've worked really hard to be here, to be in this position, to play for a championship. And I think we're all on the same page. Everybody's bought into what we're doing. Obviously, we're trying to win a championship here at the tournament. And then go play on in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I think that everybody is just going to be really locked in, getting three wins in a row and getting that championship.
And you beautiful people should be locked in to 95.1 FM AM 760 and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. 10:30 AM Hawaii time on Thursday, the quarterfinal matchup for HPU's men's basketball team. Jesse Nakanishi and Mai Ducenic joining me today on Sharks Weekly. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Right on. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.